This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Your nation and mine have known the shock and felt the sorrow and laid the dead to rest. And we refuse to live our lives at the mercy of murderers.
President Bush addressing the Australian Parliament in Canberra, last stop on his Asian Pacific trip before he returned to the United States. Mr. Bush compared last year's bombing in Bali, which killed 88 Australians, to the attacks on September 11th, and he thanked Australia for its support in Iraq and Afghanistan. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us more now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
Dan, there are busloads of anti-war demonstrators gathering in Washington, D.C. and San Francisco as we speak today to protest the war in Iraq. Two documents, meanwhile, made it to the news this week that may shed some light on origins and future of U.S. involvement in Iraq. First, a Senate committee report on pre-war intelligence criticizes the CIA for overstating the facts of the case for going to war against Iraq. Now, does this shift examination and attention away to the White House and onto the quality of information the White House was receiving?
Well, without going into motivation, this report says the CIA and its director, George Tenet, overstated the case against Saddam Hussein. CIAs are very angry about that. But notice something, that it's the Republican chairman of the committee, Pat Roberts, who calls the work of the CIA sloppy, and it's Jay Rockefeller, the ranking Democrat on the committee, who is the one who makes it look as though they're trying to protect the administration. I'll tell you, it looks as though in the great inquest into the origins of war, terrorism, so on and so forth, politics may be rearing its lovely head.
Also this week, memo to senior military officials that was authored by Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld was released to the public. Now, in this memo, Mr. Rumsfeld called the results of the war on terror mixed, and he said the U.S. is in for, exact words here, a long, hard slog in Iraq. Now, what do you read in the change of tone from public statements the Secretary has made previously?
Well, I'll look up slog, which is kind of a new expression used in that form. But the memo itself is very interesting because there's been no one who has been more relentlessly upbeat about progress in Iraq, progress in the war against terrorism, than Don Rumsfeld. And now, in this memo to four or five of his staff, allegedly, but of course it gets out almost immediately, now he bears a troubled heart, wonders whether the United States is winning or losing the global war, that there are mixed results in the campaign against al-Qaeda, having recently lost a couple of bureaucratic fights with Condoleezza Rice inside the administration. It seems now he wants to shift the whole internal debate into whole new ground, maybe establish a new anti-terrorism agency all by itself. I'll tell you, Scott, if our officials were half as clever fighting the terrorists as they seem to be fighting each other, we'd be in much better shape.
The Madrid Donors Conference ended Friday. International donors pledged $33 billion in aid for reconstruction in Iraq. Is this as good as can be expected?
At the moment, yes. The interesting thing is that there were 73 countries there. The United Nations says that $56 billion is needed in the next 5 years, including $20 billion from the United States. Whether this will be enough is going to be a problem, but also a big problem is exactly how they absorb that money. They don't have a functioning government yet. Whom do you give money to in a country where there is no government? And that is a problem. But they have time. This is for a five-year period, and they hope that by the time they start ladling out the money, there'll be somebody there to receive it.
There were some developments this week in Iran and North Korea. First, Iran said it will cooperate with U.N. nuclear inspections.
Yep.
And just this morning, North Korea announced that it will consider President Bush's offer of some kind of written security guarantee in exchange for taking to part its nuclear development program. Is diplomacy beginning to have some effect?
But diplomacy is apparently having a certain effect. I think it is very interesting. And I think that President Bush, when he has time, can contemplate that way back in that State of the Union address, he named an axis of evil of three countries, Iran, in Iraq, and North Korea. And the interesting thing is that of the three, as it now turns out, probably the least threatening was Iraq, because North Korea claims to have nuclear weapons. Iran may have been on the way to having nuclear weapons. David Kaye has not found anything like nuclear weapons in Iraq, so maybe it was in the wrong order.
The president returned from that trip to Asia and the Pacific on Friday. How do you rate and cite his accomplishments and what he did there?
Well, his most specific purpose he didn't get very far with, and that was to try to get Japan and China to raise the value of their currencies, which would then help American exports. That didn't work so well. Mm-hmm. But this whirlwind six-day, six-country tour may have contributed to his own education. There's an interesting piece by David Sanger, White House correspondent of the New York Times, whose reports that at one point, while on the island of Bali, President, with a puzzled look on his face, went up to someone of his staff and said, "Do they really believe that we think that all Muslims are terrorists?" And it is as though he's learning the hard way, I guess, about the fact that in many parts of the world, especially the Islamic parts of the world, the United States is not doing very well. And then, of course, there is this latest thing, the Malaysian Prime Minister, Mahathir Mohamad, in a speech just before he got there to an Islamic Congress, saying that Jews control the entire world from the United States.
Mm-hmm. That sort of, without making any kind of analogies or comparisons, I haven't had a chance to ask you yet about the statements of Lieutenant General William Boykin. And it's been reported over the past 10 days or so that he said in speeches to church groups, he characterized the war on terrorism as a spiritual battle between Christianity and Satan. Do you see any evidence that the administration is trying to distance itself from General Boykin?
Well, it depends what you mean by distance. Distance itself, yes, trying to get as far away from it as it can. And they're using the under-investigation technique of saying that they can't talk about it now because it's going to be investigated. Secretary Rumsfeld says that the Inspector General at the Pentagon will look into it. I'm not sure what they have to investigate. Did General Boykin say those things? Well, they're on tape. Did he say them while in uniform with the three stars on of a lieutenant general? Yes, he did. What makes the case of General Boykin so difficult for this administration is that Boykin is very popular in evangelical churches and with the evangelical movement in generally, and that is a very important part of the electoral factor for this administration. So the president has distanced himself and repudiated the idea, but I think they're having difficulty about reprimanding him.
Let me ask you what you make of this. The Senate broke ranks with the administration on Thursday this week when it voted to ban the use of government funds to enforce a travel ban on Cuba. House has already passed similar legislation. What do you make of this?
Well, it's very interesting that somewhere along about this time of the administration, in any term of any president, suddenly the Congress begins to feel its oats and wants to do things even though the president doesn't agree. This is a rare case of an issue where only 2 weeks ago President Bush ordered tougher sanctions against Cuba. And now Congress comes in and says, well, we don't care what you think. We think that maybe some of our travel business wants to get into Cuba. The Cuban Americans in Florida don't seem to be quite so set on this anymore. And it's one of these rare cases where now the Congress says, Mr. President, we want to do this one our way.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Yep.